this week and wondering what would be some good things to share to ladies. And so I got some ladies' input today because we want to honor them, we want to encourage them. You know, most women think about a lot of different things. Is that true? I mean, their brains are completely different than men's. Could all the men say amen to that? And so they are wired, you guys are wired a little bit different than we are. You guys can multitask 20 different things in your head. Guys, like one at a time. You know, it's just like, put it in a box. You can't give me more than three things. You know, you can do 20 different things. And so, you know, when Jesus told Martha, he says, you're worried and upset about a lot of different things. I mean, that's what happens in ladies' minds. They're worried and upset, and they get a lot of different things going on up there. And so most ladies, I think about from Scripture and from just experience, they are concerned about their looks and how they smell. I mean, most of perfume that you get to, I mean, it isn't guys' cologne on TV, right? It's more women's perfume. More ladies probably think about how they look and how they present themselves, all those kinds of things. Those are very important things. But, you know, the Bible talks about those two specific things about ladies. But from a spiritual standpoint, how they look and how they smell. And so today we're going to look at this. And so my favorite places to walk into, I don't know if you ever went to like a flower shop and just like walked in and smelled fresh cut flowers like this. It's like the aroma of that is like, I could work here. You know what I mean? It's like, it is so nice in this place. It's so beautiful. I mean, dealing with flowers and the beauty of them. And it's like, oh, I love walking into those places. Other places like to walk into are coffee shops, right? There's like coffee, the aroma of coffee, just pungent. It's just, man, it smells good. It's like, man, I want a cup of coffee now. That's why they do it, right? They do it on purpose. And so other places are candle shops. Ladies, you probably like this as well. It's like walking into a candle shop and just like taking the lid off and, oh, there's something about like cinnamon and apples together. Or pumpkin spice, or vanilla spice. It's like, oh man, it just lights up the room, doesn't it? Another place I like to walk into is Italian places. Italian restaurants. Man, they got the bread going, he's got the sauce going, the spaghetti's going. It was like, oh, I love the smell of Italian restaurants. Or a bakery, walk into a bakery, Lenny's Bakery here in town, it's like, ah, I love those places. They do it on purpose. And so today we're going to look at the first point is the fragrance of your life. Because ladies, like the flowers give fragrance, the beauty, the color, the fragrance, the firmness of it. Your life is like this little flower we're going to talk about. But in Matthew 26, I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew 26. The context is Jesus is preparing for his final week. Before he goes to the cross, and he stops by Martha and Mary's house where Lazarus was. But Matthew 26 tells a little bit different perspective than John chapter 12. We're going to tie these things in here. And so Matthew, Mark, and John, both, all three of the gospel writers, talk about this specific story in great detail, as we'll see why. And so verse 6, it says, while Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of a man known as Simon the leper. Well, who else lives there that we know of? Martha and Mary and Lazarus. They also live there. But Simon the leper lived there as well. And a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste? They asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Judas was the one who says that according to John. Verse 10, aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why?" I love this. Why are you bothering this woman? Yeah. I think if Jesus would encourage kids to go to your homes, he's like, why are you bothering this woman? This is your mom. Quit bothering her. She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. Talking about his presence having more value at the moment because he's going to be gone in just a little while. And when she poured this perfume on my body, notice his interpretation. She did it to prepare me for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached, notice the importance of this. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Now think about this. Three of the gospel writers write about this story. So this whole story has gone global just from this one particular incident at Simon's house where they were having dinner. It's gone global. It's gone viral, so to speak. Her act of worship. And so let's just break this passage down a little bit. So Martha was probably cooking in the background. Martha loved to cook. How many ladies love to cook in the room here? Not too many. 1-800-DIAL. Oh my lands, the art of cooking. So older ladies in the room that love to cook, you have an audience here that needs your help. All right. But Martha loved to cook, and so she was probably doing the cooking behind the scenes. Lazarus, we know, was reclining at the table with Jesus. Simon the leper was probably sitting there, reclining as well, or helping. And so Simon opens his home to Jesus. He hears Jesus is in town. And Jesus probably healed Simon year or two later, or before this all transpired. So he wanted to honor Jesus as his guest in his home to have a meal. And so Mary takes advantage of this whole point and does something special to anoint Jesus. And so it was customary for the guest of honor, who is Jesus here, for them to pour oil on the head to mark, hey, this is the one who is special here today. This is the one we're honoring here today. And so they would use like little olive oil or fragrance or frankincense, or just kind of anoint his little head with oil and just say, hey, this is a special one. But she does something out of the ordinary. She takes a whole jar, a pint, John says, a pint of pure nard. Pure nard comes from India, is a very special bottle that comes in the alabaster jar. And so this was like gold to women. Right, and so this pure nard was just like amazing. And so she dumps the whole thing on his head, then John says also on his feet. And then she takes her hair and wipes his feet with her hair. And the whole fragrance of that perfume filled the room. It was just, wow, what an amazing moment. Now what she was doing, by taking this pure gold and anointing Jesus, this was an Old Testament thing where prophets would anoint their kings with oil, right? And so Mary was saying to Jesus, without saying anything, you are my king. You're my king. And then she didn't even probably know this, but Jesus interpreted it as, hey, she's preparing me for my burial. Because maybe she was hearing Jesus talk about, hey, I'm going to go to the cross, I'm going to die in 3 days, I'm going to rise again. Maybe she's finally taken this in. But she pours this whole pint on Jesus, probably something that she was going to save for her wedding day. But this investment, she pours it all on Jesus, saying, Jesus, you're my king. I know you're going to die for me. And Jesus, in essence, was saying, yes, Mary, I'm going to die, be buried, but I'm going to raise again for you too. See your brother over there? That's what's going to happen to me. That same scenario is going to happen to me. So the audience in the room was very special. You got Simon, you got Lazarus right in the room. Jesus raised Lazarus and healed Simon the leper. Now, the thing about leprosy, if you had leprosy, you couldn't eat with anybody close. You were an outcast in that society. But Jesus healed him. I don't know if you've ever seen any of the Chosen videos. There's a Chosen app out there that you can download. It has all these incidences where Jesus is healing people and doing miracles. It's a great thing. It's going over all over the world as well. And so I love the scene where Jesus heals Simon the leper. Oh, it's an amazing scene. And so I hope you watch that later on. But her act of worship was remembered forever to the whole world. Just this one moment that she took advantage of to anoint Jesus of her perfume. And here's the amazing couple things I want to point out. What's on the inside? What's on the inside of this jar, do you think? Water. So if I pour it out, what comes out? Water. So if this was filled with perfume, if I pour it out, what comes out? Perfume. So the whole point is, what comes out of us is really what's inside of us. And so notice the difference between Mary's act of worship and Judas's. It's a huge contrast, right? And so Judas, we know Judas who says, why this waste? This could have been sold and given to the poor. And it says they were indignant about it. They were upset over her act of worship. They were very upset. Their indignance filled the room compared to Mary's gentle act of worship, which filled the room. What's inside of us comes out. Mary's love for Jesus and devotion to Jesus and her gratitude for looking across the table, you raise my brother back to life. Thank you. What you've done is priceless. And what you're going to do for me at the end of the week is priceless. So she anointed him with everything that she had, her most priceless value. And Judas sells Jesus for what? 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. Sells him out. What you value, listen to me, what you value is how you're going to treat things. Mary highly valued Jesus. Judas did not. You see the comparison? If I have a Bentley in the garage, I'm going to treat it differently than the Pinto I drive during the week. Right? That's just normal basics values, right? It's like, well, this one's worth a whole lot more than the old 70s Pinto. Right? So I'm going to value and honor this thing. And so Mary says, Jesus, you're my Bentley. And Judas says, Jesus, you're like a Pinto. So how we value Jesus is how we're going to treat Jesus. That's the main point of the story. And how you treat Jesus fills the room wherever you're at. Her love spilled out. Her devotion spilled out. Her honor spilled out. She didn't even say a word to Jesus. The disciples said, why this waste? And Jesus was like, oh no. What she's done is so beautiful. I'm guessing the disciples never forgot this rebuke from Jesus. And he didn't have to say it in a rebukeful way. He says, no, what she's done is so beautiful, guys. One day you'll realize and look back on this moment. Wow. So what's been coming out of you lately? Frustration been coming out of you? Some anger coming out of you? Some strife? Maybe some bitterness? Because what's in us, what comes out? And it fills the room. What's your home life like? Is it troublesome? Is it shaky? It's going to spill out. It's the main truth that Jesus taught the disciples over and over again. What's inside comes out. Always does, always has, and always will be. In 2 Corinthians 2, Paul says this amazing phrase about Christians. He says, "You are the aroma of Christ, the fragrance of life." Why? Because the Holy Spirit indwells us, right? And so whenever you want, if you want to smell like Jesus, be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? That's what he's saying. The Holy Spirit lives in you and dwells in you, and the more you live for him, he spills out of you, and it fills the room. So if you want to change your home life, your work life, your atmosphere, wherever you go, guess what? Concentrate on the inside. Make sure what's on the inside is filled with God's fragrance. That heavenly fragrance that God put inside of us. That's the Holy Spirit. You are the aroma of Christ. You know, some perfumes don't smell as good as others. Is that right? I would say that, right? Some of you are like, "Oh, I don't like that one. That's just, you know, it just doesn't smell right on." And you're like, you test bottles, right? You do the whole test thing. And so test yourself if the Holy Spirit is smelling through you. He's like, "Well, how do you test that?" The fruit of the Spirit. Is love coming out? Is joy coming out? Is peace inside? Is there kindness and gentleness and faith and goodness? Are all these things coming out? You see, Mary had her priorities right as well. She had her values right, but she also had her priorities right. There's a book called Ordering Your Private World, and I encourage everyone to get this book. It's by Gordon MacDonald. He says, here's a memo to the disorganized. He says, "If my private world is in order, my inner life, it will because I am convinced that the inner world of the spiritual must govern the outer world of activity." Are you convinced of that? That what I need to focus on what's inside, not what's always on the outside. As we're going to see. Because the fragrance of this, what's inside, will come out. It always does. But I have to be convinced that that's the main priority. And so the main priority, we're going to give you four priorities here. Number one, your spiritual life. Your personal time with the Lord, your reading of his word, your meditating of him, your prayer life, your praise life, your personal walk with God is utmost important, right? Secondly, you can go back to your other one. Go back to the other one there. Your partner, your spouse. If you're single, hey, Jesus, you're married to Jesus if you're a follower of Christ, right? And so those are your priorities, then your kids, then your work, then your productivity. You see, Martha had it almost backwards. Martha thought, my productivity is what's going to honor Jesus. And Jesus says, hey, Mary's chosen what's better. She's sitting at my feet and learning as a disciple. It's those moments where we choose what's valuable, and so the Bible always talks about this priority. And parenting your kids. Your kids are not your priority. Your work doesn't give you value. Jesus gives you value. And there's nothing more sweeter to be around. There's nothing more fragrant I love to be around is than a person or a lady who's filled with God's Spirit and the fruit comes out of that. That's what the story's all about. Fragrance of her life fills the room. She's done a beautiful thing. You always see Mary at Jesus' feet when you study the Bible. Learning at his feet. In John 11, when she lost her brother at the funeral, she ran to Jesus' feet and poured out her grief at Jesus' feet. And I know what that feels like when you pour it out. She even questioned the Lord, like, Lord, if you'd have been here, you could have saved him. But God has something sometimes higher, a higher purpose than what we're seeing at the moment. Productivity, there's always going to be things to do, right? There's no end to doing things. But your walk with God, the aroma that comes off of you, that is what the Bible talks about first and foremost. Secondly, the unfading beauty of your life. So in 1 Peter chapter 3, he focuses on this particular thing. What's on the outside? Focus on the inside, your character. So he talks about this wife who is having a wayward husband, so to speak. And so he says, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. It's like, well, how is that going to happen? It says, verse 2, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of the inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great value or worth in God's sight. God's looking too. So God cares about what you spiritually look like. Everybody takes notice, right, of your character. And you can win, ladies, you can win the heart of your husband without saying a single word. Do you know how you do it? It's by the looks that you give. My wife, I can read my wife by the look she gives me. Yeah. Right? That's 26 years of marriage right there. It's like, I've learned that. It's like certain looks mean certain things. Right? Many of you guys know what I'm talking about. She doesn't have to say a word. She can get me to move without saying a word. Kudos to her, right? But it's her character that Peter is talking about. When they see that, it changes them. You see, moms, when your kids see your character, it changes them. Same way for dads. Grandparents, same thing. When they see your character, when they see your devotion to your family, when they see your devotion to your Lord, it makes a huge difference. The fragrance that you give off, the character, the beauty that you carry out in your daily things, it matters. It all matters. And Peter says, this beauty never fades. This flower, a couple weeks, what's going to happen to it? It's going to fade. Beautiful right now. Right? It's my wife's favorite color. It's not her favorite flower, but it's her favorite color. But notice it says, when they see your purity, your reverence for the Lord, your meek, gentle spirit. It even says in verse 6, women of old, verse 5, used to make themselves beautiful this way, by being submissive to their own husbands. Ladies, it's not that you're not equal to your husband. That's not what it's saying. It simply means when you come under him and say, you know what, I'm going to be submissive here. We're equal, but God has placed different things in order that I'm going to submit to. Colossians 3 says, you know, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And he's like, somebody's like, it ain't fitting today. That's too tight. It's too loose. It ain't fitting today. I get that, but our character as men ought to win our wives over as well. It's where they do, it's a mutual submission to one another. We listen to each other, we honor each other. But they have to see it. You know, my mom said these words at my ordination. She says, Andy, let your life speak louder than your words. Never forgot that. And my mom is a quiet woman. She is backward, but when she prays, oh God. I didn't mean that irreverently, but it's like the Lord's in the room. It's like she has a direct connection. And she does. And I'm thankful for my spiritual moms in this room. We're going to hear from one today that I call Ma. She's going to pray over all the ladies today. And so encouraging, uplifting, always saying, hey, I'm praying for you. Love you. So proud of you. Man, those are words that we cling to, don't we, as men? It's like, wow. We need that encouragement. And so when these ladies speak, thank you. Thank you. You know how you make a Kleenex dance, don't you? Put a little boogie in it, you know. Tell your kids that one today, all right? But notice it says, this has great worth. Great worth in God's sight. Ladies, I just want you to know that you are very valuable. You're of great worth. The Bible talks about in Proverbs, a noble woman who can find, but a woman who fears the Lord, she is so far more worth rubies, silver, or gold. Your value of your spiritual life, the value of how you do mothering is very, very important to God. Don't ever forget that. Your time with Him is never wasted. It's never wasted. As Thurman comes up for a song, I want to end with this little illustration. You know, there's a couple things for flowers to grow. And number one, they have to be planted, right? They got to be planted in order to grow. They start off as a seed or a bulb. And so, ladies, are you planted in Christ? That's my first question to you. Are you planted in Christ? Otherwise, you're just going to be just a flower that quickly fades. But the Bible says in our last slide here, I want to show you this verse. We have that last slide. There we go. It's from the book of Acts. It says, for in Him we live and move and have our being. But it's in Him. Isn't that an amazing verse? And so ladies, when you're planted right and you're in the Lord, that's where you belong. You know, flowers just need two things in order to grow. Water, which we have plenty of today. Water and then what? Sunshine. So I just want to let you end with this today, that picture. Are you in Him? Then you're going to blossom. Be exposed to a lot of sun and be filled with the water of the Holy Spirit. You know, picture this song. I want you to picture this song as Mary anointing Jesus. This would be her song that she didn't sing to Jesus. So I want you to just look at it from her perspective today. And we're going to continue on with the service. Let's all stand and sing. Because you
and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor
This is my ma, my spiritual ma, Jenny McKinney, and so she's going to say some words and then pray over all the ladies today. So Jenny, here you go.
Thank you. Good morning and happy Mother's Day. Andy called me and asked me to do this. Now I'm nervous. I haven't been nervous. I just felt that this was from God, and I was supposed to do this, and I didn't hesitate. I've never stood before so many people for my life. But first of all, I don't want... You may sit down. I may take a minute. I might. I first want to say I don't want to discount you men today. I was just asked to pray over the women of the church, the mothers and the women. But I do ask a special blessing. I believe God has special blessings for all of us. And I ask a special blessing on every one of you gentlemen here today. We women would not be where we are if it weren't for the power and strength and love of you men. I am a daughter. I am a wife. I am a mother. I am a grandmother. And I'm a great-grandmother. I'm sure many of you are. And many of you, maybe some of you go even further than that. But I've been honored to serve in those roles. This is my 50th Mother's Day. I became a mother for the first time yesterday, and 50 years ago. And so this is an anniversary for me of my first Mother's Day. But I want to say to you that, I don't know, I'm my heart's just full. There's a word in the Bible, and I pulled it up in the dictionary, the word behold. It says, behold means to see or observe or gaze upon a thing or person, especially a remarkable, impressive one. And I want to add beautiful to that, too. Andy touched on that. An outward beauty is wonderful, but it's the inward beauty that comes out of a person that just blesses and blesses and blesses. But, you know, we gaze upon... a sunset, or a starry sky. But you know, as we gaze upon our mothers, Jesus told us to behold our mothers. Jesus also, at the cross, while he was hanging on the cross, he also looked at his mother and said, behold thy son. We as women and as mothers, we should behold our children. Our sons, our daughters, our children. But as Jesus was hanging on that cross, he also turned to John, his beloved disciple, and said, behold thy mother. Look on that mother as a remarkable person. Look upon that mother. I'm sure your mothers have at some time or another said or done something, and you've looked at her and said, wow, that's my mom. That's my mom. And I'm sure she's impressed a lot of you guys when she grabbed you by the ear and said, come with me. And sometimes mom grabbing you by the ear was even worse than dad grabbing you by the seat of your pants. But look at your mother as beautiful. Behold that mother. She's beautiful. You know, God blessed us with our children. He couldn't have given us any more. They're his children, too, and he gave them to us mothers, and he gave them to us women to nurture and to love and to teach his word and to guide them. That's our job. And if we do that job well, we don't need any more. If we can stand before our Savior and he tells us we've done a great job, and we can answer, and we know in our hearts, we know that we did the best we could at the time with the tools we had to work with. We don't have to hang our heads in shame. We don't have to hang our heads in shame. I am proud to be a mother and a grandmother and a great-grandmother. I love my family. Family is what it's all about. Behold your mother. Behold your mother. I would love to hold my mother right now, but all I can do is behold her. I will hold her one day. But I want to pray a special blessing over you mothers and you women of the church this morning on this day, Mother's Day, that's set aside. It's only one day a year, but you know, we all should make it every day of the year. Not only Mother's Day, just people day. Just love one another like Jesus loves us with all our flaws. That's all he wants us to do, is love one another and love him. Shall we pray? Dear Father, I praise you for who you are. And I thank you for being your child and being a mother. I pray a special blessing this morning on the women of this church who are mothers. They have a job on their hands, but it's the best job in the world, Lord. I pray strength when those little ones whose little hands and feet move so fast that they just zap your energy. I pray for patience when you perform a miracle, another miracle. First of all, you gave them to us. You perform another miracle, and you made these kids smart, so much smarter than we are. Now, that's a miracle in itself. And then they grow older, and there's another miracle which makes them realize they didn't know anything at all. And they come to us, Lord, with the hard questions, and we have to have wisdom. So give us wisdom, Lord. Give us strength, give us patience, give us wisdom. Give us what we need, Lord, and the women of the church that come along beside us to bolster us, Lord, to help train our children in the way they should go. That's our job, so that they'll walk the path with you, Lord. I thank you for each one of these women in the church. I thank you that they're my life. They're such a powerful force for me. So as each one of them go out today and spend Mother's Day, just give them a shower of blessing, of joy and laughter and love, so much in abundance, Lord, that their hearts can't contain it. God bless all of them. God bless all of us. I pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.